Let's give a big, great hand of praise for those three pastors. And they truly have eyes to see. But we are literally at the cusp of something great that God is doing. We've been hearing messages about the coming of Christ and, you know, the end time and all this other stuff. But I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to be honest with you, there is a shift in the heavens. And if anyone understands the heavenly realm, the angelic realm, the supernatural, please grab hold of what I'm saying here. We are at an end of an age. Will the world end? No. But is there an end of an age? Yes. There's many ages. We've already went through so many ages. We went through the Ice Age. We went through the what do you call them, other ages with the swords and the medieval age, the industrial age, the other ages. How many ages? Come on, let's bring up a couple. How many ages, guys? Caveman age, the Renaissance age, cowboy age, dark ages. Now we're at a technology age. But my point is that there are changings of times and ages. And a lot of times we tend to get carnally minded. And it's nothing wrong about being carnally minded. Carnally minded just basically means you're just so focused on the things of the world, your duties and your obligations and your family and traditions and things of that nature. And you lose sight of the supernatural. You lose sight of the spiritual realm. You lose sight of what's happening up in the heavenlies. And the heavens are real. The stars are real. The way the world evolves is real. And God is real. And it's a power and it's supernatural. And there's a call right now. And this call is about really, truly seeking the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is this. It's a righteousness. It's a peace. And it's a joy. It's an eternal realm that is within us that we have to seek so wholeheartedly in our heart and embrace it no matter what. And then understand the power of God and what He is calling for each and every human being around the world. We had a great man of God, Billy Graham, who has left. He had a strong conviction. And at the end of his life, God began to open his eyes up to the revelation of the truth that we've been speaking in this place for many, many years. And it is that Christ is in each and every individual, and it's not by the man Jesus, but it's the nature of God, Christ within, and it's time for the resurrection. It's time for the knowledge of this truth to rule and reign, but there's a process of entering into the divine nature. We need to be transformed and come into that celestial being that God has called us to come into. And it's entering into the kingdom of God, which starts out with righteousness. That's why he says there is no condemnation or shame in Christ. And the first thing that we really have to embrace is righteousness. If you are a new creature, if you're accepting this truth, if you're embracing the nature of God dwelling inside of you, it's a little seed, but that seed is watered by this truth, by embracing the fact that you're a new creature and everything yesterday has passed away and you are born again. It is very important to understand the new nature that is within you. And you gotta cast down the guilt and the shame. You've done nothing wrong. You have done nothing wrong. Have we entered into trials and tribulations and persecutions? Yes, but don't blame yourself as if you did something wrong. You need to cut it off. You need to begin to make a choice and change the way you're thinking. You need to repent. And one of the things through repentance is overcoming fear. And fear is a big stronghold on the people of God. Fear of losing friends, fear of losing income or whatever it might be, assets. Because some of these things that are, you're trying to protect the joy and the peace and the righteousness within inside yourself so that this nature of Christ can rise up inside of you and be a light. And you're trying to protect this, but it has grips on things that you're afraid of. How many people are beginning to realize and understand what I'm saying? But I'm here to bring a message of hope that you're not alone in this. God has been opening up my eyes more and more about the heavens and the angels that have been commissioned around us and in the midst of us, and that we need to learn how to embrace them. And if you look at the truth through Scripture, even Jesus himself, when he went through 40 days and 40 nights of that persecution, tribulation, testing, he came out of it and then what? Ministered by the angels of God. The angels came and gave him strength and hope. And the more humble you are in the reality that you need help to protect this kingdom, God begins to empower you with a power from above, because his will must be done within us, and he knows that we don't have the strength to do it. The principalities and the powers are too great for one individual to try to handle that on their own. How many people understand this? There is a dark realm out there that is looking to try to destroy that anointing, to destroy that Messiah, that peace of God that is living in each and every human being. One of the things that Billy Graham said was, you don't have to be a Christian to be born again. You don't have to be a Christian to have salvation. You don't have to be this to have salvation. He says you just need the knowledge of Christ within. And I thank God for that man to back up what we're saying, because sometimes you feel like you're just one little fish swimming in a fishbowl. But it's been brought out, unfortunately, the persecution and all that started to rob and steal, and they went right back to their vomit. But look it up. The most important thing right now is that you have eternal life. The most important thing right now is to understand how to enter into the kingdom of God. The most important thing is to understand how to be transformed into the child of God and embrace that nature of Christ within you. And it's really just the beginning of, for one, taking away the guilt and shame in your life. I know if you're like me, there is a lot that tries to come and knock on my door. There are individuals around me that try to make me feel guilty for anything and things that I haven't done. How many are like that right here tonight? God's going to set you free. You're going to be set free today. You're a good person and you haven't done anything wrong, but there are sick individuals out there to try to turn things around and make you feel guilty for your goodness. And that's wrong. That has to stop at all cost. But remember this, you're not alone. And God understands your strength. And when we come before him in weakness, this is so true, heaven begins to work on our behalf. If you could see all the angels that are commissioned on your behalf, you would begin to develop a boldness and make a stand for righteousness and hold on to it with all your heart, soul, and mind, so that that righteousness can rule and reign in your heart and bring you joy and bring you peace. I'm going to tell you, joy and peace is a gift. We don't have it. It's given to us as a gift. You can drum it up by going to a good movie or getting away from all the pressures of the world on a vacation for a week. But when you get back, it's there. It's robbing and stealing and destroying because you just don't have that place. And that place is the kingdom. You just don't have that place of righteousness, a clean conscience, a clean heart. And we're carrying so much guilt and shame. We don't even realize it. It's buried deep down inside the bales of the belly of ourselves. It's buried deep. And it's not anyone's fault. We're destroyed. We suffer because of lack of knowledge. We don't realize. If I can open you up and look inside you, you'll see all the tangling weeds and thorns and thistles that are all inside our inner being. And it's because we didn't have the knowledge to understand how to use heaven on our behalf. We didn't have a heart to cry out. God says if you would cry out and call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. He's out there saying, if you would just humble yourself, I will exalt you. He's throwing all the key points for us to have an awareness to know that we're not alone. And we have an angelic realm. Angels. How many people believe in angels? I'm going to tell you, I don't worship them, but I want to take advantage of them. I don't worship angels, but I'm going to tell you right now, they're there for me. And if I want the knowledge to say, if I can call down hundreds of them, thousands of them, he says, I'll send enough that you won't even, dash your foot against a stone? You know, we have taken and said, okay, I'm going to call upon the Holy Spirit. You know what you're really doing when you're calling upon the Holy Spirit? We could say angels, but I'm going to tell you really what it could be. I'm going to say what it is. It's that divine nature, that holy nature inside of you. The one that is actually empowers you to be commissioned. Take a person that has an authority.
Jesus said, I say to this one, go, and he goes, and this one, go, and he goes. He describes what you're saying right now in Scripture.
Thank you, Lord, for bearing witness. Because when you have an authority, and authority is given by humility, when you call upon the name of the Lord, he begins to grant you a resurrection. In heaven, do you have a name? I hope heaven knows your name. There's a new name written in heaven. Let me ask you one thing. When God looks down at you, what does he see? Does he see you clothed and covered in blood? Wearing that garment? That garment that shows that the war has been won? You know, if our eyes are opened up to be able to see the supernatural, you'll understand what is being said. There is a war that was in heaven prior to us even coming here. And that war was won, and there was a lot of bloodshed. And there was many angels that left their position. And they're today are being held for a great judgment. And he says that we would even judge the angels. I want us to know that we're not alone. I believe God is challenging us to understand, to enter into the kingdom of God. To know that that should be like the most important thing in our heart. For one, to open up our heart. If you don't have salvation, if you don't understand, ask. God wants to place his divine nature inside of us. But I'm going to tell you right now, you can ask for the divine nature. You can ask Christ into your heart. You can do all these things. But if you're carrying this power that is horrible in the eyes of God, it doesn't allow the divine nature to raise up. And it's called guilt and shame. called guilt and shame and condemnation. And I want to tell you right now, it has to be destroyed. It has to be eliminated in your life. It has to be removed. And don't think, if you've been beating the door for so many years, hoping for something to change, and it never changed, and it's always there making you feel bad, I'm going to tell you right now, you got to run from it. You got to run from it because it's not going to change. It's not going to remove itself. How many people have bad people in their lives? I'm good. I'm glad. I'm glad I saw hands. Because I don't think there's one person here that doesn't have any bad people in your life. They're there. Now, they could be there to test you. They could be there to humble you. But how long do we put up with it? How long do we continue to allow these bad individuals in our lives? I used to say that the whole life is in the hearts of individuals. The life that you live is in the hearts within you and individuals around you. That's the life that you live. And what you surround yourself is your life. If you surround yourself with good people, loving people, people that lift you up and are there for your best interest and have no bad motives whatsoever in their heart, but only to see good in you, embrace it. And if you don't have those things in your life, and you're over here trying to fight these spiritual battles, hoping that these things will change, or they will be good people, or will they're good, and just you overlooking their horrible nastiness that is constantly attacking you and stealing your joy and peace, you're fighting a battle that is really not yours. And what do? Continue to allow guilt and shame to come into your heart. Continue to allow these things. You're beating yourself up. I would say walk away real fast. I would say cut them off as soon as you can. I would say to you, if you really want to obtain salvation, fear God and don't fear man. Ask God. Listen, I would say to you, if we all have love in us, and it's not easy just to cut ties off of someone who you love. I'm going to tell you right now, it's not. So cry out and ask God, God, deliver them. Send angels. Do whatever you got to do. But then how long do you continue to go on? You know, the Bible says, forgive your brother 70 times 70. How many have heard that? That seems like a lot, doesn't it? It almost gives you that opportunity to say, you got to just keep forgiving because there's no end. But I don't believe that at all. I believe what God is saying in that verse is do all that you can possibly do until you can't do no more. Do you know that you could be hindering someone from finding their own repentance or their own salvation by nailing them, enabling them, and allowing them to continue to carry on and act the way they're doing and doing the things that they're doing because you're constantly there petting them and pacifying them and hoping for things to change and they never do? Has anyone ever been a victim of that? I look at it like it as a son who, you know, you brought a son into the world. The son is just like out of control and, you know, the mother and the father's love is unconditional and you're embracing it. But the son just never changes. It never gets it. It never understands. It says vile things and just always rebellious, never shows respect. It's like, what do? You got to let it go. And maybe by letting it go, just like the prodigal son, what happened? Took the inheritance, ran, squandered it, then started to have to live with the pigs. Then realized, oh my God, how dumb was I? I had it really good where I was, and I abused the situation. I took advantage of the kindness and the love, and I just didn't respect, and I abused, and I am so sorry. And what happened? Prodigal son came back, but came back with repentance. That's what we hope. The loved ones in our lives, that they come back with repentance. I'm not asking you to cut them off for eternity. Always pray for those who curse you and persecute you. Always pray. But what I'm saying is, do you allow them to continue to steal the joy and the peace and the righteousness that is in your heart that you're trying to protect? There's a mandate right now. And God is saying, I am commanding the people of God to protect the kingdom of God. There is a verse, it says, the kingdom of God is suffering violence, and the violence is taking it by force. What that means is the kingdom of God is getting attacked. And the ones that are attacking it, the violence, are taking the kingdom of God, and it's taking it by force. No one's protecting it. No one is being told that they have to protect it. No one is even finding it. The call of salvation, the altar call, to accept Christ into your heart, where is it? What is it? What are they trying to say out there? Accept the man 2,000 years ago into your heart who's supposed to have died for your sins? I'm going to tell you right now, it's not true. We got to get the spiritual understanding of what they were trying to say. And it's saying, listen, Jesus was the one who showed us he was successful in the fact that there were signs and wonders following. It's evident that he had the truth of the divine nature of God within him. There is a name written in heaven, a new name written on his behalf. And he sits at the right-hand side of the Father. For us to see the same thing, we need to embrace Christ. That divine nature. And what is a divine nature to you? I'm going to tell you what it is. For one, it's a new creator, new creation. It's a new person. That's number one. So when you accept Christ into your heart, what you got to do is take yesterday and throw it away. You got to take the fact that whatever you were yesterday, okay, you're not subject to do that stuff anymore. Why? Because you realize it wasn't good, it wasn't healthy, it wasn't right, and you know what? I'm a different person now. I'm not doing it anymore. So you're taking on a new person. And then, what does it mean? I'm not going to carry shame. I'm not going to carry guilt anymore. I'm going to forgive myself. Just like God forgave me, I'm going to forgive myself. If we do not forgive ourselves, I'm going to tell you right now, I know for a fact, no one that is saved, I should say anyone who proclaims to be saved and hasn't forgiven themselves is not saved. And how many of us, those that are listening, those that are here, have unforgiveness in their heart, in themselves? How about just regrets? You did something and you wish you didn't. Can't go back and fix it. The only thing you can do is forget about it. You know how many things we cry over that is still in our lives? that is gone and we can't bring back. And if you're still crying over things that are in your life that are gone and you can't bring back, you have no salvation. You have no Christ. I don't care how many times you came up into the altar and asked for Jesus to come into your heart. I don't care how many times you have confessed your sins. I don't care. You know, what does it mean, get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you? Does that have any meaning to you whatsoever? God is judging these people, and these people are saying, but Lord, Lord, we did all these things in your name, but. He says, but get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. It's because he never had Christ in them. They're holding guilt and shame, condemnation. And the Bible is so clear. There is no condemnation in Christ. There is none. And if there is, you know what happened? I think ministers watered down the truth so that they don't offend anyone. Saying, well, God's a merciful God, and you just keep saying I'm sorry or whatever, and everything will be okay. As long as you were at that altar call and you accepted Jesus into your heart, everything's going to be all right. I'm going to tell you right now, everything isn't going to be all right. You're duped. You're deceived. And I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to bring salvation to a land, to a place, to a person who is dying, whose path is directed to eternal death. And I'm going to tell you, there is an eternal realm. I tasted it. I know it. It's real. It's there. And it's no joke. And I know the keys. I have the keys. And I'm giving you the keys to come to eternity, to come to salvation. I'm showing you what you need to do. And one of the most important things is, if you want Christ in your heart, you got to get rid of the guilt and shame and condemnation. You're a good father. You're a good mother. You see what I'm saying? You've done all that you could have done. There was nothing bad that you have done. How many times of us, when we were in, let's say you were in a bad relationship, and how many times do you keep reeling back? Could there have been something that I could have done differently? Come on now. No. There was nothing you could have done differently. And even if there was, you didn't do it. So get over it. We got to obtain Christ in our hearts. We got to wash away our hearts. We got to wash away the sin. We got to wash away this stuff that is so encamped in us. We got to let it go. We have to become born again. We have to become a new creature in Him. We have to. The old life has to go. I'm saying this with a strong conviction in my heart. It has to go. And not only am I saying it to you, but I'm saying it to me. You know how many times I have to keep repeating to myself, ah, what are you doing? Stop it. Stop it. Move on. Move on. We all fall short of the glory of God, but we need to pick ourselves up and we have to brush ourselves off and we have to continue to brace this thing called righteousness. And it's not good deeds. It's the righteousness of God. And the only righteousness He sees is that divine nature of Christ that removes guilt, shame, and condemnation. And if He's not seeing Christ, and He's seeing guilt, shame, and condemnation, I'm going to tell you right now, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. We are in trouble. Is anyone hearing me? I'm hearing myself, and I'm going to tell you right now, I'm making a change. I don't want guilt and shame. I want my Father in heaven to see Christ in me. I want Him to see that divine nature of Christ in me. In me. Nothing more. I want to stand before him and I want him to see Christ. Christ has made it. Christ has paid the price. Christ has did it for us. And it's no longer I that lives, but he that lives within me. I want Christ to stand before the Lord. Not me. Not my works. Not my righteousness. Not my goodness. I don't care about offending anyone. I care about offending my Father in heaven. I hope you have a heart like me. I hope you embrace this truth. Because if you're going through the traditions of your righteousness, I'm going to tell you right now, it's not going to get you nowhere, and you might as well just throw it away. Because I know you're working hard for it, and it's not paying off. It's not doing anything for you other than building your pride and allowing you to feel good about yourself in that area. But it's not giving you eternal life. Not at all. Embrace what is being said. You know, Pastor Kurt said that there was going to be a door opening up. A call to walk through it. Sam said the same thing, Pastor Sam. That there's going to be a call, an opportunity to walk through a door. And they were right. This is the door that is opening. A word of truth to protect. And you're not alone. I want you to know you're not alone. If it's hard, ask God to send the ministering angels on your behalf because you have them. How many of us are using the angels that God gave us? I'm going to tell you right now. If you pray and you pray for traveling mercies, how many have done that? Lord, I'm going on a trip. Please send me some traveling mercies. Protect us as we go. Guess what you're doing? You're asking for God to provide the angels to be around you, to protect you from anything that's going to hurt you. How many times have we been in a circumstance that out of the blue, somebody comes by and helps you? And it's like, wow, what a nice person. The Bible clearly says, how do you know if you're entertaining an angel or not? We need more spiritual eyes to see and understand the glory that is given to us. How many of us want our prayers answered when we speak to the universe? Amen. Angels take our prayers up. They go before the Lord with our prayers. If you have Christ in you, can you imagine the power? Can you imagine how many angels are manifesting themselves? All heaven is rejoicing. You don't even have to be concerned about God hearing your prayers. There's an authority in heaven, and automatically they're heard when you have Christ in you. And Christ only comes by you coming to a place of being born again. And being born again is this knowledge that is being given. Get rid of the guilt, the shame, and the condemnation. Past, present, and future. Don't allow it to come in. Protect the kingdom of God the best you can. Hear me out. I believe we're entering an end of an age. And it's important. We spoke about some things on Wednesday. It was pretty prophetic and it was deep. And I don't expect everyone to really grab hold of what was being said, but I will say, prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. I want to read of something. It's in Jude. It's about this big. That big. Small. I want to read something. Who's a good reader? I need a good reader. Someone who's willing to read. Mary Beth? Oh, I hear everybody pointing at Mary Beth. I like the way Mary Beth reads. Do you need my glasses? No.
I actually take mine off to read.
Okay, we're fist bumping now, by the way. Yes. Just read that. It's not much.
Okay.
You're a good fast reader.
Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. Mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turned the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they do know naturally, like beasts in these things, they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily to the error of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These are spots in your love feast. While they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves, they are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, also saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own godly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to you, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for that reading. I believe God is not playing at this hour. Just like he came with Sodom and Gomorrah. Just like he came with Noah. Just like he did before in the past. We're at an age right now. And sometimes what happens is when time goes by, we get complacent and we forget. We forget who God is. We forget that it's even possible that he can do those things today. There's arguments about it, but, oh, well, that's why we have the New Testament. Jesus came and took God out of the equation. Now it's just all grace and mercy. It's not that way. It's not that way one bit. Jesus came to show us Christ. He even said to Peter, "Who do you say I am?" And he says, "You're the Christ, the Christ." He pointed it out as something separate. You're the Christ. And they prophesied about the Messiah coming. Not Jesus coming. The Christ. The revelation of the Christ. And they spoke about the kingdom of God and how the kingdom of God is coming. Well, the kingdom of God is at hand. And what is at hand? Understanding the revelational knowledge of what it is. And what it is inside of us that we have to protect. That darkness that we can't see because we don't have spiritual eyes are robbing it through individuals too. How many times have your righteousness been taken away and you felt guilty and you felt ashamed? How many times have you felt as if something you did wrong and you didn't do anything wrong? These sick individuals have a way to even spin it and say, "What are you talking about?" And make you feel bad. It's a form of witchcraft. It's bad. I want us to bow our heads for a moment. God, I ask that you bring the Holy Spirit, the power within us, and resurrect us so that we can have eyes to see, ears to hear, that any foundation that has been established, tear it down and build a new foundation of truth. Take what crept into the church who has tried to bring a message and perverted it for their own self-gain and destroy that foundation and build the new foundation that you're requiring. Lord, I ask that if there are any individuals in our lives that are just robbing the righteousness within us, Lord, get them to either repent. Send your angels to quicken them and let them see the abuse they put upon us. Or remove them. Take them out of our life. So that we can uphold the righteousness that is within us. Take away the darkness that is robbing from each and every one of us, Lord, I pray. And lead them to your salvation. Lord, we pray for our enemies. We pray for those who persecute us. We don't want harm to come against them. We just want them removed so that we can have righteousness in our heart or get them to change. So they stop robbing and stealing, killing and destroying the Christ within us. Let us not walk with fear because we're afraid of this loss or what others might think. But let us fear you, Lord, one who can save our soul, not the one who can't save our soul. Lord, I pray that you hear us and honor us and deliver us from this evil. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. And I'm going to call Pastor Sam up if he would end our service.
There's a reason why we're troubled. You know, we go from glory to glory to glory, level upon level upon level in God. In the beginning, it's a lot easier. We get peace in the very beginning of the next level. And then as we become content, or we become lazy, let's say lazy, or we're just content in our area, God starts causing trouble to come in. We get trouble on every side. We get turmoil. We lose our peace. We lose our joy. Because the next level is right in front of you. And if we don't realize why we're troubled and blame everything else but the level, then we're not really in faith. It's just the next level. Stop blaming people, places, and things. It's the next level. God is about building a character in us, and that's all he wants, is to build himself in us. That when you see me, you see the Father. Isn't that his goal? We can't be petty. Can be blaming everything but the level for what's happening in our lives. He said, those he loves, he chastises. We're going to have turmoil if we stay too long on the wrong level. He's trying to always bring us forward, always repenting. And that's his goal, amen? Let's embrace it. Let's start calling a spade a spade. Let's start using truth and battle. And stop saying, it's Joe's fault. It's Dave's fault. No. Just the next level. Look at it and be excited about it. Stop letting these levels cause you to look everywhere but at God. He loves you that much to not leave you where you're at. He's like, come on, you're almost there. One more step. Come on, you're almost there. One more step. One more step. Just one more and you're there. Amen. Let's keep going forward. Have a great week. Wednesday night service, 7:30. Please come out. Again, it's getting crazy Wednesday nights. It's insane what's happening. I'm telling you, we go to levels that you've never seen. We're like, what is happening over here? Wednesday nights is becoming, you got to come out. It's really exciting. So please join us, all right? Have a great week, guys.